Greetings in the name of the Lord. Over a long period of time and in many messages, we have been discussing the ministries of the Holy Spirit in the lives of believers. What a wonderful subject this is, especially if we understand that we Christians, and I want to emphasize this again and again, we Christians cannot live our lives by ourselves. We need the ministry of the Holy Spirit in our lives to strengthen us, uphold us, lead us, guide us, teach us, everything you can possibly imagine. We need the work of the Holy Spirit in our lives. Even victory over sin can only come through the Holy Spirit. We cannot have victory over sin in our human efforts or by human efforts. We can only do it through the power and the enabling of the Holy Spirit. And so in our Christian lives, we need the work of the Holy Spirit. And in the first part of this study, the first messages that we gave, we emphasized a number of different passages lightly touching on these ministries of the Holy Spirit. Some of them we dealt with a bit more extensively, but our main purpose was to touch on all of the passages from the Gospels and from the Epistles which deal with the ministry of the Holy Spirit. And now in this last half of the study, we are dealing with some topical studies. I've been taking some topical studies on the ministry of the Holy Spirit in the lives of believers. And in these topical studies, we are trying to deal with these ministries more deeply. We're trying to show you how the Holy Spirit works in the lives of believers in certain ways, both in our individual lives and in the body of believers. First of all, we took the ministry of the Holy Spirit in giving and using spiritual gifts in our individual lives and in our church life, and how the gifts of the Spirit are so important to us. And I don't want to go into this subject again with you, but I want to emphasize again and again that each of us has some gift that can be used by God. It's important we find that we know this gift and that we dedicate this gift completely to the Lord, and then that we use it for His glory as we work together in the body of believers. And so everyone has a gift. Even though some gifts might seem very insignificant and very unimportant, every gift is important in the work of God. And therefore we joyfully and gladly yield our gifts to Him, and we recognize they are gifts given by the Holy Spirit to be used for the glory of God. Now the second topic that we've talked about is the ministry of the Holy Spirit in evangelism. And this is also a very important subject, because there is this temptation for some to feel that through human efforts and through human personalities and human gifts, that somehow they can do the work of God and accomplish great things for God. They speak of the great numbers of people won to Christ through their efforts and so forth. And it makes you wonder how many of these converts were their converts and not God's converts. And so we don't do this as we consider evangelism. We recognize that it's the Holy Spirit from beginning to end that works in evangelism, and therefore the glory goes back to God Himself. Now, first of all, we considered how the Holy Spirit works in the lives of God's own people in witnessing for the gospel, and how important this subject is. Many times we feel very inadequate to witness for Christ, or we may feel overconfident in witnessing for Christ. We need to accept the fact that it's the Holy Spirit that prepares and equips us and guides and leads us and goes ahead of us and so forth in our witness of the gospel. Therefore, again, I say, the glory goes back to God Himself. We are just human instruments that God chooses to use, but we're very important human instruments. And God does use human instrumentality as they are led and equipped and used by the Holy Spirit. But He does use human instrumentality to carry the gospel. And then the Spirit does His work. And then the second part of this study on evangelism has to do with the ones to whom we're witnessing. How does the Spirit work in their lives? And how does He go ahead of us and work in their lives so that they will trust the Lord Jesus as their Savior from sin? We've already considered several things about the unsaved people and how he restrains them, how the Holy Spirit restrains them from plunging deeper and deeper until they can hear the gospel, and then also how he works in their hearts to convict them of sin, how he enlightens them with truth. And today, I want to discuss with you briefly the Spirit's work in drawing us to Christ. Perhaps we'll have a chance to discuss a couple of different ministries of the Spirit in their lives, but this work is very, very important, the Spirit's work in drawing us to Christ. Now, I want to say this, that we still have human responsibility in trusting the Lord as our Savior. But were it not for the drawing work of the Spirit, we would never be inclined to even go any further with the truth that we understand. In other words, he helps us in making our decision. He does not make our decisions for us. Some teach that he even makes the decisions for us. He doesn't make our decisions for us. We still have human responsibility in deciding to have faith in the Lord Jesus as our Savior from sin. There is danger that we will turn away from him, in fact. And this danger is warned about in the book of Hebrews, and there are 9 different passages in that book of Hebrews, in fact, that warn us against turning away or rejecting him or in any way refusing to receive the gospel. So this work in drawing us is very important. It is not enough simply for us to be convicted of our lost and sinful condition before God and to be enlightened with the truth that we need to understand. There must also be a deep motivation stirred within us to act upon that truth and respond to all that we have been taught. Now, I believe that this is the drawing work of the Holy Spirit. In ourselves, we recognize, and we accept this, in fact, in ourselves, we are dead in trespasses and in sins. You look at Ephesians chapter 2, verses 1 to 3. You cannot hear the gospel without understanding, and you cannot accept the gospel without understanding that you are a lost, hopeless sinner before God, and you need the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. So Ephesians chapter 2, which is a very wonderful passage dealing with grace and faith, in this passage he opens it by talking about our lost and hopeless sinful condition, the fact that we belong to the family of Satan. We are sinners before God. We work with Satan's people. We follow sinful habits. And it's out of these that God, in his grace, has saved us from our sins. Unless the Holy Spirit moved within our hearts, and this is the truth we're getting to, unless the Holy Spirit moved within our hearts and exerted influence to cause us to respond, we never would have left the family of Satan. We never would have been willing to even consider coming into the family of God, because Satan's family and Satan himself had strong hold upon us. And so we would remain hopelessly lost. Now you look at such passages as John chapter 6, verse 44, where the Lord Jesus speaks of the drawing work of the Holy Spirit. Unless my Father draws them, no man can come unto me. And so this truth is taught by the Lord Jesus himself. Then in Acts chapter 2, verse 41, you see again how the Holy Spirit, in fact, going back several verses, going back into verses 39 and 40, you see how the Holy Spirit in Acts chapter 2 deeply moved upon the hearts of people who may have been haters of Jesus before and even helped crucify him. But he moved upon their hearts and drew them to the saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus so they would be willing to exert faith and trust in the Lord Jesus as their Savior from sin. Again, you see this in Romans chapter 3, verses 10 and 11, where you see the hopeless, lost condition of men before God. And then you come down to verse 19 of Romans chapter 3, and you see again the work of God in saving people from their sins. From then on, going through chapter 3, the rest of chapter 3, chapter 4, and chapter 5, the saving work of God in saving them from their sins. But you see how they are drawn to the Lord Jesus. And then again, you see in Ephesians chapter 2, verses 4 to 10. Again, the grace of God, how the grace of God is made clear to them, and they are moved to trust the Lord Jesus and be forever separated from Satan and from his family. In other words, they now belong to God because of the grace of God. And what I'm trying to emphasize is this, whether it's there or in the later passage of Ephesians chapter 3, or whether it's Philippians chapter 3, verses 7 to 9, or any of these passages, were it not for the work of the Holy Spirit in drawing us to Christ, none of us would really be willing to come to Him. So it is clear, again, in these passages, that it's a motivating work of the Holy Spirit that is necessary in our salvation. In other words, He motivates us to respond. He motivates us to come and take some kind of a step. He motivates us to respond to the teaching that we hear and to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. In other words, it's the drawing work of the Holy Spirit, the fact that He actually helps us along the way. Now again, I emphasize, we have human responsibility. We do have the responsibility to put our faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, but it's the Holy Spirit who helps us to take that step, to come to that point where we're willing to take that step and even to help us take that step. In other words, true faith in the Lord Jesus Christ comes from the heart. And the Holy Spirit has stirred my heart and now helps me in this decision I'm going to make. I want to see again, we see this in the crowd of those who heard the gospel on the day of Pentecost. We see it again in Paul's conversion. We see it throughout the New Testament. Every time the gospel was presented, it was the Holy Spirit who worked. One of the occasions was in the city of Athens, a hopelessly turned against Christ city, if you can use that phrase, a hopelessly turned against Christ city. It was a city totally dedicated to paganism. There were idols everywhere. Some people have said there were thousands and tens of thousands of idols all over the city. The Apostle Paul even pointed out there was one idol who didn't even have a name. It was addressed to the unknown God because they couldn't think up enough names to give to that idol. And so here was a city that was hopelessly turned against Christ, hopelessly turned against the gospel. And yet in that city, as Paul preaches, there were a few who came to Christ. We don't know how many came to Christ. Some people have said, oh, Paul wasted his time in that city. No, we never waste our time giving the gospel to people. Some people have said he never should have gone there. Why did he even preach in that pagan city but so hopelessly turned against Christ? No, there were a few who were saved. We don't know anything about the church that was ever established there. But we praise the Lord that at the end of Acts chapter 17, even in that hopeless situation, the Holy Spirit had drawn a few to the Lord Jesus out of that multitude of people who were totally engrossed in paganism. And so even in hopeless situations, it is still the Holy Spirit who draws people to Christ. Now in this motivating work, I do believe the Holy Spirit, first of all, causes us to be tender and open and willing to hear and respond to the gospel of Christ. I believe this is part of His drawing work. He helps us to be tender and open and willing in coming to Christ. I want to urge you this morning, if by any possibility some of you are not saved, you have never really trusted the Lord Jesus, or you are depending upon religion, perhaps your church, or sacraments, or some other thing to help take you to heaven. If you're depending upon anything else or anyone else to help take you to heaven, you need to turn aside from other people and from other things, and you need to turn to the Lord Jesus. The Holy Spirit will help you. Perhaps even your very interest in listening to this broadcast indicates that the Holy Spirit has touched your heart, not because of me, but because of His working in your lives. And I would urge you to put your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. He will help you. You may say, well, look, I've been in something else all my life. How can I ever turn aside? and trust Jesus alone as my Savior. I've been taught everything else. No, the Holy Spirit can help you make this decision. So He not only helps us to be willing and open, and many of you are willing and open, but He'll help you to properly respond. Now, this motivating work of the Holy Spirit, again, I emphasize, does not take away from our own responsibility. I still have to trust the Lord Jesus as my Savior. So the answer to the question, what must I do to be saved, was the answer, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved in thy house, in Acts chapter 16. So we do have human responsibility. And it's my prayer, as you have listened to this message and other messages on this station, it's my prayer that you may, in your own hearts, not only have trusted the Lord Jesus as your Savior, but recognize that as you witness for Christ, that the Holy Spirit will help people to be drawn to the Lord Jesus. You have help as you witness for Christ. You're not alone. It's the Holy Spirit working in the hearts of people. And so my prayer is that you might do everything and be everything that God wants you to do and to be. May the Lord bless you, each one.